what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. We're slamming that cage door behind you for the next hour. Over here in the blue corner, I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And across from me, in the red corner, the man who is finally over his 311 jealousy, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, tell the folks where to find you.
Eddie, you can find me at Nonstop MMA. But the most important part, Eddie, you can find us both at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on HornFM.com. There's lots of places, Eddie.
iTunes?
That you can find us on iTunes, on SoundCloud. Lots of places where you can find us.
Eddie, if you can't find us, you're not looking.
Very exciting. It's exciting times, Eddie. How you doing? How was your weekend?
I slept so much the past weekend with the 2-3-11 shows and the trips to Houston back and forth. Had a work thing on Monday. Had a radio thing on Tuesday. Had radio Wednesday and then a work thing again. I was worn out. I woke up Saturday about 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Sunday, 12:30.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to wake up late any of those days. I woke up on Saturday morning, was going to go to the lake, but I wasn't sure about the weather. Did you see that weather this weekend?
Oh, man. I picked the right weekend to sleep in.
Man, I was really hoping that the
although the allergies were kicking my butt.
Although, I don't think we got much. I mean, we got a lot of water, it felt like, but not much in the apartment of raising the water levels.
Not much out west, you mean?
No, we got a lot of water. Yeah. No, we got a lot of water out there, but just okay. It didn't raise the level as much as I was hoping to.
Well, it's a pretty big lake.
So what else is going on? Did you see? I saw Mission Impossible.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it. It was good.
What did you think of that last scene?
Well, we don't want to spoil it for people.
Okay, just lots of Tom Cruise running.
Yeah, I mean,
that was good.
Just like every single movie, you always have Tom Cruise running.
It's like he knows it, and they play up to it.
It's like Matthew McConaughey eating food with his hands. You have Tom Cruise running. Like those are things that in their movies they have to do. Yeah. No, it was good. We enjoyed it.
I mean, things got so impossible at the end. You're just thinking, come on.
Your eyes said, wait. Is this going to be possible? And sure enough, it was.
He'll make it happen.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed it. It was good. Went to the Alamo Draft House. Always a good time at the Alamo.
Okay, this might be just me being picky.
Okay.
But I hate the waiters coming to you at the end.
To give you a bill?
Because you know, now, number one.
Hey, you still want to give me your money.
No. Number one, they're just kind of interrupting the movie for you.
Okay.
And number two. They're kind of letting you know that things are about to wrap up.
Things are about to wrap up. This movie is going to end. Give me my money.
Yeah, right now. And now you're looking at your wallet and the bill instead of the movie. It's just too much of a distraction.
All right. So, Eddie, I want you to think back when you were a child, okay? Tell me back.
Man, that's a long time ago.
You said it, not me.
I was waiting on you to do it.
When did school start? First off, on a Thursday. And second off, like, in the middle of August. School starts tomorrow. At least up for us up in Leander.
What?
Tomorrow school starts. Like what?
What's that? The
16th.
It's not supposed to start till like
after Labor Day.
Yeah. At least close to Labor Day.
That's what I thought. Maybe a week before. But this is like the earliest I've ever remembered. Like, and I hear we have like more school days than ever for my kids. It's crazy.
Are they charging you guys extra taxes?
I'm glad they don't. you know, I wish.
Are your taxes that high that they can just have more schooling?
It's crazy, man. It's crazy how soon, like, it feels like there's a shortened summer.
Is this how they pay for the pools?
I wish we had pools. We don't have pools at high schools. We just use, like, a community pool for water polo and swim practice. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know what it pays for? It pays for football. Let's be honest.
Well, football, hey. They should be paying for everything else.
No, there we go. Football needs to
pay. And Cuero football paid for everything else.
Well, that's because.
But you got to go to the playoffs.
Did it pay for that one stoplight the city had?
There was like four or five.
Okay, good. So I can just imagine, Eddie, like you growing up, you know, in the 60s. Like, was it
very
like.
Funny.
It was like Friday Night Lights with like, you know, swing music, right? In the 50s?
You're just going to keep going back a decade every time you do that?
Eddie, quite actually the swing dancer. Am I not true?
Quite what?
The swing dancer.
Yeah.
And ballroom dancer?
That's true.
It's because it's your contemporary.
That's true.
It makes sense.
But no, growing up in the 90s
in
Cuero, it was very much Friday Night Lights. You could rob the town blind on Friday nights.
All right.
But that's also because there were so many Friday nights that we would play 16 games instead of 10.
in so much that there's actually 52 Friday nights in a year, right?
Well, with football.
Okay. Okay.
That's normally you get 10 regular season games.
Yeah. But you guys were so good, playing, you got playoffs.
Yeah, 15, 16 games.
So good. Cuero football.
Hey, I just found out, drum roll please, yep, Cuero is now in the same district as Austin Eastside Memorial.
Oh, my gosh.
Playing here in October.
You're going to go?
Yeah, you're going too.
I'm not.
You're going.
There's not a chance.
You're going. Marlo would love to get rid of you on a Friday night.
You will get me to one Cedar Park High School game this year. I'll take the kids. We'll go. It'll be a great time had by all. But I'm not going to Aquarium. Are you going to wear your Letterman jacket?
No. I can still fit it.
Guys.
It's still in my closet, but
Eddie lettered in debate. He was a mathlete and in dance. And he has a dancer on the side. On
correction. My first letter was in UIL, which is academic competitions.
Okay.
And then there was track.
Okay.
And then football.
All right.
So, yeah. Three letters.
Is it like, are all those roles like watching, like sitting on the bench?
Or what?
Like sitting on the bench. Like, hey, that's a guy on the bench, like not playing?
No, 400 relay.
Okay.
Long jump, triple jump. And then more bench time than I wanted in football, yeah.
Okay, that's okay. I didn't play football. You know, hey, I played water
we
polo.
We had a lot of Division I athletes
I
on my
it.
Football team.
Cuero. Okay. Cuero's where it's at. A lot of playoffs.
Hey, man. We had guys go to Nebraska, Texas, Wyoming, Angelo State, A&M, Kingsville, Houston. More than we should have. Well, where'd your guys go?
We had a guy who played for the Giants.
A guy?
Uh-huh. Not many that I can think about. Kimmy Gibbler from Full House.
We had a guy played for the Colts.
Okay. Well, it's exciting. Man, I'm tired.
Yeah, anyway.
I went to Orange Theory again today. It's tough. You know what? When I went there, I asked. I was like, hey, are there guys that do this? I didn't know. I just thought that like only women work out at Orange Theory.
Come on, man.
And I found out. So, I mean, I've been
You're going. Not going to get us a sponsorship thinking like that.
I've been going, though, and it's kicking my butt.
Hey, like, put your sales skills to use.
Like, it's getting much harder to, like, get my heart rate up because I think, you know, you build endurance.
Are you in the orange level?
Bro, you don't go unless you're at the orange level. I go to be in the orange level, okay? Gosh, I think we should probably talk about some fights, though, Eddie. You know, we're going to do things a little bit different. You know, there was no fights last weekend. You're probably wondering why, you know, we are, you know, how far are we? We're like 8 minutes in?
Seven and a half, yeah.
And you're probably saying, guys, you haven't talked about a fight yet. What's going on?
Well, if you're paying attention, you know wasn't much going on last
week. No fights last week. No fights upcoming this week.
Well, you know, there was Ryzen.
Nope. Like I said, I know.
And I can tell you.
I know you're a big Angela Magana fan.
Our friend Angela Magana.
Not our friend.
Got tapped out to a Von Flue choke.
I heard about that. So, and there is some Bellator, and there is some PFL this weekend.
That's right.
But besides that, not much else. But Eddie, we've got a good show. We're going to talk about some news right now.
From here on out.
And then we've got a cool guest coming up after our first break. We've got Dave Manley, and he creates MMA bobbleheads. And you might have seen these online. You might have seen them on Twitter, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Dan Henderson one. He's got a Chuck Liddell one. And he's got, coming out, you can pre-order, he's got a Bruce Buffer one. And these are all licensed by these guys, and they all work with Dave in creating these, but they're pretty cool. And we'll talk to Dave how he got into it, where he started doing it, and he'll probably tell us the story of, you know, building these bobbleheads. So
nice.
Pretty cool. I ran into Dave in Vegas not too long ago. But so we're going to talk about some news, and then we'll finish up, and we're going to talk about Bellator. We're going to talk about PFL. So a lot going on. Oh, wow.
As I say in Spaceballs, now for the short version. Jordan, we're going to play a little What's Up With That before we talk to our bobblehead man. And we're going to start off with a man I refused to put in any kind of picture until he was completely healed and ready to fight. El Kukui, Tony Ferguson. He says that he's cleared and ready to come back. What's up with that?
You know, it's actually pretty tough even now putting him in and matching him up with somebody.
Right.
Right? So Tony Ferguson, we all know he hurt himself leading up to that fight at UFC 223.
Go ahead and say how.
Tripping over a cord while doing an interview. Was that ESPN?
Or Fox?
Fox, of course.
On his way to the studio.
Yep.
Tripped over a cable.
Tore his LCL. But 4 months and 1 day later, he is back. And he says he's cleared, but he's ready to come back.
Man, I just don't trust that. So this 4 months for a torn ligament?
It's an LCL. And so, you know, Demetrius Johnson, I heard him talk on Monday. It depends on the grade of the tear.
Right.
But he had a pretty gruesome surgery. So usually I tore my LCL. I tore my PCL, and I didn't have surgery to repair it at all. It depends on, like, the grade. You would think that if you have surgery on your knee, on your LCL, you're probably going to have a bigger recovery than 4 months. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I would think like 6 months before you even, you know, jogging.
Yeah.
You know, and here he is doing all sorts of El Kakui-like movements.
Well, first off, Eddie, you're not an elite athlete.
No more.
Okay.
That is sadly true.
You're not kicking steel pipes. You are
never.
Not going to run up in Big Bear. These are things that you don't do.
Eddie's
not even sure
stands.
Where Big Bear is.
It's in California. Okay. Come on.
Which one? Northern or Southern?
North.
No. Southern California.
Yeah.
Out by Arrowhead. And
You're just saying words now.
Big Bear Mountain is there.
You're just saying words.
Great place to go skiing.
Okay.
Great place to go skiing. But yeah, but the altitude is high, obviously. Yeah, but you think about, like, El Kakui. He loses his title. He's stripped of his title. The moment that this matchup of matchups, Ally Quinta versus Khabib Nurmagomedov, happens at UFC 223 in Brooklyn. Now, this is, he's taken off the card. He's not, it would have been really crazy is if he tore his LCL tripping over a dolly that someone might have thrown. Like, that would have been an interesting story, but that, you know, that didn't happen.
Well, you know, as much as I hate interim titles, you know, normally, I can't disagree with the UFC stripping him of his belt.
I can.
Well, he was an interim champ already. Already it was interim. And then he tears a knee ligament.
Sure.
Now, you know, I have no idea how long the guy's going to be out. There's no point in having an interim champ if he can't fight.
But Khabib literally won the title from a real estate agent. Like, you gave an interim title for a real estate agent to fight for a title.
Now, I'm not saying that part is great.
So that's where
it's just the stripping of the interim title for a guy who can't fight just makes sense.
Well,
sorry, Tony. I love you, but sorry. Okay.
All right. So now let's talk. Where do we put Tony? Like, what do we do with him next?
That's a great question.
Because it looks like if you look at the top, ten in lightweight, right? We've got Khabib. He's fighting Conor, the champion versus number one. Dustin Poirier is fighting Nate Diaz.
Well,
Poirier's three,
probably.
Yeah. Nate Diaz is 11. Then you have Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez is renegotiating contract.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he'll talk to Bellator. Bellator would like to talk to him. Scott Coker would like to talk to him if he is available.
But probably can't talk to him for about 3 months.
That's going to take some time. Eddie is coming off a loss to Dustin Poirier. It seems unlikely. Well, it's a great fight. It seems unlikely that Eddie Alvarez, coming off a loss, is going to fight the former interim champion who really never lost his belt unless you consider his opponent the cable.
Yeah. Kevin Lee, he already defeated.
Kevin Lee, he defeated a year ago.
Right.
Yeah. To get the interim title.
That was with his old knee, though. So.
And that was with Kevin Lee with no staff.
Yeah. No, that was Kevin Lee with staff. So now maybe Kevin Lee without staff and Tony Ferguson's new knee. Who knows? But Kevin Ferguson is keeping himself in shape to slide into a spot when someone gets injured for 229, which we know is about a 75% chance.
Well, Kevin Lee actually has been calling people out. He wants to fight on this card.
Mm-hmm.
And don't throw just 75%. Don't throw random numbers out because people are going to believe that that's a real thing. That's not a real thing. Connor is reliable. Connor shows up. Okay?
Who's talking about
Connor? Connor shows up. Khabib? You know, maybe not as much.
Tiramisu.
Tiramisu.
AKA. Yeah.
So then who's next? Who's next on the list?
Let's see. 4, Eddie Alvarez. 5, Kevin Lee. 6, Edson Barbosa.
Okay. Tony Ferguson defeated him back in 2015.
7, Justin Gaethje. He's paired up with James Vick on the 25th.
So that fight's not going to happen.
It's my birthday fight. Ally Quinta.
Okay.
We know he is championship level worthy, right?
Yeah.
Because if anything, the past has taught us.
Ally Quinta probably not ready to fight just as soon as you think.
Yeah. 10, James Vick. Matchup with Justin Gaethje on the 25th. 11, Nate Diaz.
Okay.
12, Michael Chiesa. Is he too busy with a lawsuit?
Coming off a loss. Cannot fight. Can't fight on the same card as Conor McGregor.
That's right.
So even if you wanted to put Tony Ferguson on that card, can't fight Michael Chiesa on that card.
Right. And then it's...
I feel like you forgot somebody in there.
Alexander Hernandez.
You forgot number 8, actually. Anthony Pettis.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Because I was thinking about that. Pettis beat Chiesa, so he would be above him. I actually like that fight. I actually like Kevin Lee's been calling out Anthony Pettis. He really wants to fight him. But I actually really like a fight, Anthony Pettis versus Tony Ferguson, for, you know, really could be a number one contenders match.
Yeah.
You've got Nate, you've got Dustin Poirier, Tony Ferguson, and you've got, you know, Anthony Pettis, all guys that are probably worthy of being a contender after the next fight. I like that, though. Put that on the same card. That's a good fight right there.
Let's do it.
Unless you do Kevin Lee versus Anthony Pettis. They've talked about like wanting to fight somebody.
But they better hurry up.
But there's prestige behind Anthony Pettis because of what his name is and what he's been able to do before.
Right.
So I think that's kind of, I kind of like that, actually. But yeah,
it's definitely a fun fight.
So let's get him in action.
Yeah, and then I will be okay talking about him again.
Yeah.
I almost hesitate to bring this next one up, Jordan, but there's another boxer who's flapping his gums about MMA now.
I know you love that.
What's up with that?
All right, so TJ Dillashaw just defeated Cody Garbrandt, UFC 227.
Right.
Right? Gervonta Davis, who was a Mayweather guy, Mayweather Promotions fighter. He actually fought on the same card. If you remember, his outfit was like a big, like, blue, fluffy.
Yeah, the fringe thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He called out, hey, I want the winner of Cody. I want the guy who beat Cody next. Now, these guys have just been going back and forth, talking and talking and talking about, hey, maybe having a fight happen. Eddie,
mm-hmm.
You know, is this ever going to happen? Are you just so tired of hearing boxers and MMA fighters talk to each other when you know that nothing's going to ever happen?
I am so tired, especially of anything that has to do with Mayweather. It's like they just have to find some way to keep his name in the news. And it's really not even him, but because this guy's under him, you know, it's all Mayweather again. Shut up. TJ has literally defeated two people in the bantamweight division in the last 5 years. Okay, defend your belt. Henry Cejudo, I see you on Extra flapping your gums at TJ Dillashaw. Defend your belt. You're lucky to even have it.
Okay, Eddie has to calm down. There's one thing. You know, Eddie, before Mayweather-McGregor was even announced, Eddie guaranteed us that fight would never happen. Mostly just because Eddie didn't want it to happen. And so again, you know, he doesn't want this fight to happen. So I get it. You know, yeah, it's never going to happen. These guys aren't fighting.
Well, the UFC is in court again. And this time it's about fighter pay being made public, Jordan.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, so there's a court case coming out here that, you know, so Mark Hunt's court case, right? There's a motion that that the UFC should release their pay structure and their pay for the fighters. And the UFC comes back and says that it would jeopardize the UFC's competitive standing in the MMA industry. And they're saying that their chief legal officer is arguing that documents would fundamentally alter the contract negotiation process, making the UFC's business unmanageable. Now, I think unmanageable, that's probably a little strong word.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people are taking umbrage in that, you know, like, you know, Leslie Smith, who's trying to create a union, saying, hey, guys, this is a great example of the UFC treating us, first, like independent contractors.
Right.
Or really employees and not independent contractors. But also, like, this is how the UFC keeps us down. So you did a little research on this too, Eddie. You talked to a friend that is a lawyer?
I did. I have a friend, my friend Nikki. She's the host of the Attempted Horse Collar podcast.
Okay.
They're on hiatus at the moment. I asked her to read that article and just give me her thoughts. And her initial thoughts were, and I quote, "The UFC's argument is stupid. Literally every other sport has athletes who have knowledge of what other athletes make. It's also one stupid contract, and if they can't negotiate around it, they suck as negotiators."
Okay.
To continue, how is the contract relevant to the issue of the lawsuit, and what exactly does the confidentiality clause protect? If it's relevant to a core issue of the lawsuit, no amount of confidentiality matters if one party breaches. But if it's only tangentially relevant, then maybe they can win a redaction or something. Something called an in-camera review where only the judge can see it.
So what's interesting about
Did
this
you get
is,
all that?
Is the UFC actually wants to keep Mark Hunt's contract down because they pay him a ton of money. Like, they pay Mark Hunt.
They do.
A lot of money. And they don't want other people to kind of know because they don't want other people, fighters, to try to say, like, hey, if Mark Hunt does this, then I should be owed this. Right?
Especially with Mark Hunt's record.
And it's interesting because when you look at, like, fighters, these are things that should go into contract negotiations. You know, experience, record, marketability. Mm-hmm. And I heard a lot of people say, well, that's dumb. Marketability shouldn't matter. It just should be fighter and experience and record and this and that. I'm like, this is a business.
Right.
Marketability 100% is in there. And I get both sides, you know. But, Eddie, I would say, like, in my work, I don't know what my peers make.
Right.
I don't know what everyone is making out there.
Now, I can just say I do, but I'm in HR.
Okay, well, you should.
I just can't talk about
it. They probably don't want you going in looking to see what your peers make.
No.
So, but what's interesting is, like, in the sports world, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We know everything about what's going on. And it's because it's the same like that in other organizations.
Right.
So I understand that you're right. Your lawyer friend said it is dumb. But I see the UFC's point. And I understand it, that they don't want it to get out there.
Especially with someone like Mark Hunt, who only gets paid as much as he does because he's marketable. If you look at his record, it's literally the definition of mediocre.
Yeah.
But he's fun to watch. He's marketable. So he gets paid a lot of money.
Well,
I mean even his, I think against Brock Lesnar, he got like $750,000.
$800,000. Well, I mean, they're asking him to fight a bunch of steroid users, so you know, you're getting paid for that, right?
And the funny part is, Mark Hunt is bringing up this lawsuit about a fight that he wouldn't have had if the UFC hadn't given Brock Lesnar that exception.
Yeah. So I get it.
So
but
that's weird.
I just think that, like, you have fighters who say, look, I have the same record, I'm this and I'm that, I'm this, but it's not the marketability side, and there's a big difference into that.
Right.
Should there be more transparency? Probably at the end of the day, well, that maybe will help. I don't know. But, you know.
But hey, tell that to the NFL when you've got one receiver who wants to make more than the other receiver makes because he's bigger, he's made more Pro Bowls, but their numbers are comparable.
Yeah. Well,
they know what each other makes.
Popularity.
Yeah.
So.
Who knows?
I get it.
And lastly, Jordan, Kamaru Usman believes that he will be the UFC champion come UFC 228, and he's not even fighting on the card. What in the world is up with that?
Interesting. Let me tell you what he tweeted. He said, just a deep feeling in my soul. September 8th, I will be the new welterweight champion of the world. That's weird because he's not fighting. He's not even fighting for the welterweight championship of the world. But we found out that Kamaru Usman is actually going to be the replacement for the fight for the Woodley versus Till main event at UFC 228 in Dallas.
So when Darren Till comes in heavy.
Yep. Or when Tyron Woodley gets injured.
Yeah.
And they make an interim belt, because you know they will.
Can't continue because his shoulder didn't get fixed just right.
So he's going to be there. So he has to weigh in at championship. Wait, they're going to pay him to cut, to train and get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is there, just like Alexander Volkov with C 226,
mm-hmm.
he will get paid and he'll show up. And he really thinks that something's going to happen and he's going to be the champion.
Well, you know, that is highly possible. And good on the UFC for finally being prepared for things like this.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right, hit us with some new fights, and then we'll talk to the bobblehead, man.
All right, man, I'm excited about this one. Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Oh.
I was there at Dana White Tuesday Night Contenders. He's fighting Jose Quinones at UFC 229, and I actually like this so much because he's going to be kicking off the pay-per-view. So you've got Conor McGregor
nice. In
the headlines. They're showcasing other fighters. I think we have Felice Herrig versus Michelle Waterson.
That's big.
They should be fighting on that same card. They should be fighting on the main card as well because you want to showcase these fighters.
Right.
Use Conor's star to showcase other fighters. But a Bellator deal, Roger Huerta is going to be fighting Patrycki Freire.
I'm glad he's back because he bet on himself again his last fight against Ben Henderson.
Yep.
Lost, but he's back.
All right, you got Nordin Talib versus Sean Strickland at UFC Moncton. Diego Sanchez is fighting Craig White. I mentioned Michelle Waterson, but then you got OSP, Ovince St. Preux, fighting Dominic Reyes. That's at UFC 229. Lena Landsberg is fighting Yana Kunitskaya.
That's interesting.
UFC 229. Ryan LaFlair versus Tony Martin.
Well, they're not putting him in Russia.
No, they're not putting him in Russia.
Come on.
Raquel Pennington is fighting Jermaine DeRandamy. All right, UFC Denver.
The MIA.
Ashley Yoder versus Amanda Cooper. And then finally, Macy Barber versus Maya Stevenson. So those are the new fights, Eddie. That's what's up with that. We'll be right back talking to Dave Manley of MMA Bobblehead. All right, we are back on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com, and we teased it a little bit earlier. We're pretty excited. We've got Dave Manley, from MMABobblehead.com. And you might have seen him on Twitter. He's got some great bobbleheads. He's got a Dan Henderson and a Chuck Liddell bobblehead already. And I think in the next couple of weeks, he's going to be debuting a Bruce Buffer bobblehead. And Dave, welcome to Fight Night.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, this is great. So Dave and I actually met. We were in Las Vegas for UFC 226. And we were at the, you guys have heard me talk about it before. You've seen me tweet about it. The Las Vegas Fight Shop. It's one of the best stores that there is in Las Vegas. If you're a fight fan, if you're a wrestling fan, they've got WWE stuff. They got New Japan, Roots of Fight, UFC, Pride. They really have everything.
Didn't we just see it on everyone's trunks?
Yeah, I mean, everything that a fight fan could want, you could find at the Las Vegas Fight Shop. And while we were there for UFC 226, they had an event. So Dave had an event with Chuck Liddell there and Dan Henderson, and they were autographing these their bobbleheads. So first off, Dave, how did that event go for you? Were you pretty excited about that? Were people pretty excited about that?
Oh, yeah. First of all, that event was off the charts. As far as excitement goes, a level 10 for me, because it was 1 year ago before, almost on the day. I think it was a year and a day that I was walking on the streets of Las Vegas in search of any fighter that would give me the time of day. I was waiting in lines, talking to fighters' friends, tweeting and tagging fighters. Can I meet you? Doing anything I could to get the attention of a fighter, because I was making these bobbleheads and I had been making them already for a year. So 2 years ago, from the start of me coming up with the idea, that's when I met you, Jordan, at UFC 226. So what I was saying was, a year ago, I was trying to get any fighter to say yes, and then 1 year later, I had Dan Henderson and Chuck Liddell at the Las Vegas Fight Shop signing autographs on the bobbleheads that I made. It was so surreal. It was incredible. What an incredible experience. But yeah, the event went great.
Well, that's fantastic. So you mentioned that you had been making bobbleheads for a year. Now, how did you get into, like, I mean, the MMA bobblehead space is unique. Were you making bobbleheads before that, or how did that work?
I've never made a bobblehead before in my entire life. As a matter of fact, I've only owned one bobblehead in my entire life before I even decided to make my first bobblehead. It was a Babe Ruth bobblehead. And how the story is, I cleared off a shelf in my my office, and I wanted to start collecting MMA memorabilia. So I went in and I typed in Dan Henderson bobblehead. He's my favorite fighter. It's the first bobblehead I wanted to purchase, and nothing came up. He had just retired. He's a legend of the sport, Olympian, and he's like my athletic hero. So I was like, what the heck? This is not right. It's stupid. And then so I typed in Robbie Lawler bobblehead, and nothing came up for Robbie. No bobbleheads for Robbie. And at the time, I think he was the champion. And I couldn't believe it. I was just like, how do they not make bobbleheads? They make a bobblehead for every other sport. Every guy that you've never heard of has a bobblehead.
That's true.
So then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go right to the top, because I want to buy a bobblehead for this shelf. And I typed in Conor McGregor bobblehead. Nothing came up. Now, at the time, nothing came up. Since then, they've made a bobblehead. But my anger, I mean, my blood was boiling when they didn't make a Dan or a Robbie bobblehead. When I saw that they didn't make a Conor bobblehead, my blood boil went to calm. Can I do this? You know, it went to I was getting kind of an epiphany and hit by inspiration. And
did you actually hear the cash register in your head?
You know what? It didn't immediately turn. I didn't think like that. Like, I can make a lot. I was just wondering, can I do it? Can I even make this? I've always had an artistic background. I've always done something creative or artistic in my entire life for a job, and my family's into art, and I'm a businessman. That's my normal profession. And I just thought, can I put all the pieces of this passion of mine together and make my first bobblehead? And it wasn't even until at least a year from that moment until I thought, okay, I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to get good at this.
So you mentioned that you were walking the streets in Las Vegas a few years ago. What's the process? What's the process from meeting with, your first? It's pretty exciting. You said your idol, one of your heroes in the sport, was Dan Henderson, and that was one of your first bobbleheads you make. What's the process to go from, like, hey, Dan Henderson? First off, how did you meet Dan? How did you end up with him?
Can you even believe that? I mean, I say the words even right now, and I can't even believe it because I've loved Dan as a fan for so long. And for Dan not only to do this, be part of this project, but he was the first guy. I couldn't even believe because I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of other guys said no because I didn't have the guts to approach Dan or try to get a hold of Dan to tell Dan, because I just thought, to be completely honest with you guys, I thought my business model was going to be, I was going to hitch my wagon onto a couple up and coming fighters, maybe a good amateur, you know, maybe some guys in Bellator or something, and then hope they get really good enough where I can maybe make a bobblehead out of them one day. And that's what I thought it was going to be. So to immediately start with Dan Henderson was just unbelievable. But to answer your question, everyone was saying no. And then a friend of a friend of a friend, I think it was like three, maybe four degrees of separations, they saw my artwork and they saw what I was doing. And then that one person said, hey, I got to tell this one guy who knows a guy who knows Dan about this because he liked it. And sure enough, it finally hit Dan. And when Dan saw the artwork, he reached out and let me know that he was interested. And that's how we met.
That's awesome. And so, you know, so you released the Dan Henderson one. What was his reaction? Him and Chuck both, you know, they're both out. What has been the reaction so far from fighters in general?
Oh, it's been more than I can even put into words, because like when I say I was hit with inspiration that one day in my office, it never left. I mean, I wake up every morning inspired to get to work and to really work hard on these bobbleheads. I never, never thought I'd be working with some of the guys that I'm working with now. Never. I mean, I would have thought you were just lying to my face if you told me in 1 year from now you're going to be working with this guy, this champion, this former champion, that legend. So the response has been overwhelming. The biggest response since day one has been, how come they don't make MMA bobbleheads already? That's the number one response. But then the number two response is, wow, you're making them so different and so well, because bobbleheads have been made the same way for all the football, basketball, all the major sports for decades. All the guys look the same. You can't really tell a difference. The poses may be different, the uniforms may be different, but the athletes always look the same. And I wanted to make an MMA bobblehead honoring the guys for the poses in which they're famous for, the H-bomb and the Chuck Liddell scream and, you know, Bruce Buffer's, you know, crazy, you know, intensity when he announces, and all the other poses that I'm coming out with more fighters. You take one look at the fighter, you're going to be like, oh, that's, you know, that's the H-bomb, UFC 100. It's like, boom. Whereas normal bobbleheads, you don't know that. It's like, it's just Derek Jeter holding a baseball bat. You know, you just, there's nothing that distinguishes the differences.
Yeah, you know, you look at your bobbleheads that you've made, you have that very classic, you know, Dan Henderson, you mentioned the H-bomb from UFC 100. You have the classic Chuck Liddell pose. And then you have, you know, coming out in a couple weeks, you have Bruce Buffer, which is really cool because he's in a Bruce Buffer pose getting ready to announce somebody. And there's so much detail on it, all the way down to the note cards. You know, he has note cards in his hands with like traditional Bruce Buffer notes. We've seen his notes. We've seen him auction them off before. And you're true all the way down to the notes that he has on his hand. So tell me about having Bruce Buffer and going with him.
And it's a very Vegas-style jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that his choice?
You know, Bruce and I, and then one little side note, too, is what's cool about these bobbleheads is that I work with the fighter from A to Z on everything, the design, the art, the skin, their muscle, the pose, everything. And like with Bruce Buffer, the suit, you know, so like, you know, when I first met Bruce and we first started talking about the idea of the bobblehead, it's always, you know, how do you see this bobblehead? Like, do you want to, you know, wear this suit or that suit? Do you want to have what kind of motion do you want to have? So all the fighters and all the people I do the bobbleheads of, they have their input all the way through. So, for the Bruce Buffer, like you said, the detail is very, very important to me. So they're all handmade. They're all hand-painted, and they take about 5 months to make. I make 1,000 of them, and then that's it. And the details are gone over with a fine-tooth comb. Like, for example, the card that you mentioned with Bruce Buffer, that's actually the Chris Weidman Anderson Silva 1 card. So if you look really, if you squint your eyes and look at it really, really close, you'll see the stats from Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva on that, like 6'2", 6'2", and the 185, 185. So you'll see that in there. But I try to give it as much detail as I possibly can with these things.
Well, that's awesome. So when does the Bruce Buffer one go on sale?
Oh, so right now, pre-orders, we're taking pre-orders for the Bruce Buffer, and we're wrapping them up right now. We're matching the numbers of the certificate of authenticity, and we're also numbering the base. So everything's getting matched up right now. We're putting the lids on them, and we're getting ready to ship them out within the week. So right now, if you go to MMABobblehead.com, you can get a pre-sale price of $40, which is unbelievable. I don't think I'll ever do $40 again. It's just too cheap. Lose it. I love making them, but I don't love making them that much where, you know, my wife's going to kick me out of the house. But you can get them at MMABobblehead.com. And, you know, I show you how I make them behind the scenes. You know, there's little stories that I'll tell, you know, on the website and stuff like that.
All right. So I'm looking at the website right now. You've got, you know, it says the Bobblehead lineup. You've got Bruce Buffer. We know you have Dan Henderson. But then you've got a question mark and it says champion. So let's break some news. Who is this? Is this a current champion?
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah. So when I have Bruce, Dan, and Chuck already released. The next guy that I have is going to be a top three fighter in his division, a current guy, and I have a champion in the mix. I have about five fighters already. I'm all currently right now. So I have fighters one through like eight or nine already done. Well, already being made, I should say. So, you know, I can't announce the next person until I'm completely finished or at least coming down the home stretch with the art, because it's just so art intensive. But I have some really exciting guys coming up. Now, really exciting.
Current, are these guys current UFC?
Awesome dudes.
UFC fighters or Bellator guys or?
Yeah, you know what? It's just turning out right now that all of them are UFC fighters.
Okay, great.
Although I'm working with one Bellator guy right now, but yeah, all UFC oriented pretty much.
All right. Well, Dave, you got to keep us posted. We want to know. I mean, this beautiful. I mean, it's really the detail, the attention to detail, all the way, you know, you have the earpiece, the jacket, the cards. It looks fantastic. And as we're winding down, I want to make sure people know they can follow you at MMA Bobblehead. They can go to Instagram. Instagram's great because you have so many of your images and just so many pictures of how you're going through this process, MMA Bobblehead and MMABobblehead.com. But Dave, thanks so much for taking the time, and we can't wait to kind of see what's next.
Thank you guys for having me on the show. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for all the kind words.
This is Superstage Northcutt, and you are listening to Fight Night with Mr. Wahlberger and Mr. Cross on 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com.
Well, Jordan, that was fun.
It was.
I'm looking forward to getting that bobblehead here in the studio and trying to keep Chad's mitts off of it.
We got to put like Eddie. This is property of Eddie Cross.
I think we'll have to put it in the studio with all the other bobbleheads and things that have come in. But that is really, really cool. And you know what? We should start taking bets on who he's got next.
Yeah, man. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm going to say one that I'm pretty sure it won't be is Michael Bisping if he's got Hendo in that H-bomb pose. I'm just saying. But on to the weekend, Jordan. This weekend, there are fights.
Oh, what?
They're not UFC fights, but they're the next best things. And yet I said things. Thursday night, PFL 6 on NBC Sportsnet. Friday, Bellator 204 coming to you live from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You know what's going on in South Dakota?
What's that?
Nothing. Nothing is going on in South Dakota. You know what I'm not worried about? I'm not worried about offending our listeners in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, okay?
Come on, Jordan.
I look at details, and we don't have a lot of listeners from South Dakota, Eddie. I'm sorry. I don't know why. South Dakota, if you're out there, let me know. So but
why all of a sudden the hatred for South Dakota?
I don't have much hatred for South Dakota. But, man.
Listen. You know, we've got James Gallagher on this card in Bellator from South Dakota.
Man, can you? So James Gallagher, he trains with Conor McGregor.
Right.
He's a John Kavanaugh pupil.
Mm-hmm.
Conor McGregor has gone to his fights before. Let me tell you something that's not going to happen in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Conor McGregor is not showing up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
You don't think he'd show up to Sioux Falls for James Gallagher?
No, there is not a chance. I'm going to go on record. Conor McGregor will never step foot in the state of South Dakota in his entire life. Not to go see Mount Rushmore.
Jordan, do you know how much South Dakota has going on?
Yes.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
You just mentioned number one, Mount Rushmore.
Did you know that I was going to take this stand?
Oh, I knew you were coming. I knew it was coming. Mount Rushmore, huge heads. Connor's got a huge head.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. He would want to be on Mount Rushmore.
He wants to be. He probably thinks he already is on the Mount Rushmore of MMA fighters.
Badlands National Park.
Okay, he's not going.
Come on. Custer State Park.
Yep.
The Crazy Horse Memorial.
Yes. Crazy.
Come on, Jordan.
I mean, he is crazy.
He is crazy.
But this is not Charles Bennett, so it's not MMA related. He's not going there.
Wind Cave National Park.
Not going.
The Mammoth Site in Hot Springs.
Okay.
Large number of Colombian mammoth bones. He considers himself like a Viking,
Eddie,
you know?
Eddie, what's the chance that you go to South Dakota in your life?
If I did, it would be to see Deadwood.
Are you going to go to South Dakota? I bet you I go to South Dakota before you go to South Dakota in your life.
Yeah.
I will probably take the kids at some point to see Mount Rushmore. I've never been there.
Maybe if I'm connecting a flight to Canada.
Let me tell you something.
No.
A flight to Canada is not stopping in South Dakota. And if it is stopping in South Dakota, Eddie, I'm going to offend a lot of people here. Our Manitoba listeners, I'm very sorry. If you're going to Manitoba, just turn around. Just go home. It's like the Oklahoma City of Canada.
Oh.
Okay?
Oh, man.
Winnipeg. Manitoba, you don't want to go to the prairies up there, okay?
No.
No. No, that's
not even in the summer?
I feel like we've now offended, like, Canada. I love Canada, okay? Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, Montreal. Great cities.
Yeah.
Winnipeg?
Regina?
I'm probably not going to go to Regina either. That's in Manitoba.
Okay.
Probably not going to go to the Peg, okay?
Well, I know
I'm sorry, Chris Jericho,
from North Dakota.
I'm sorry, Kenny Omega. You guys are from the Peg. But I'm not going there.
The Pig. I don't think that's a nickname you really want.
That's the nickname. Right. So, but in the main event,
okay,
though.
Okay, I'm done with Deadwood, okay. After Deadwood.
In the main event, you've got Darian Caldwell. So he is the Bantamweight champion. And you would think that, hey, Darian Caldwell, Bantamweight champion. That's crazy that they're going to be doing a title fight in South Dakota.
In South Dakota.
But they're not. They're actually not doing a title fight.
Wait, what?
He's moving up to featherweight, and he's fighting Noad Lahat. So a non-title bout. He's just moving up. Moving on up. Not to South Dakota, though.
Okay, stop that.
Not to South Dakota.
You couldn't see it, people. There was even a little dance to
it
that.
It was more like a shimmy.
It was horrible.
Like a shimmy it was.
Like a cycling
thing. So, yeah. I'm going to go on a limb and say, Eddie.
I don't watch the show, Paul. Why would I watch the show?
There's not a chance, okay? Did I watch
obviously
the show?
Obviously, I didn't, Paul.
No, obviously, I didn't, okay? I did not watch the show.
What if you've put the kids to bed and there's nothing else going on Friday night?
Why would I watch the show?
Your wife has gone to bed. She's sick of you. She's watching the Kardashians or something in the bedroom.
Why would I watch the show?
I get it.
Okay.
Thursday.
Are you watching the show?
Probably. But on DVR. Thursday, PFL 6 featuring Ray Cooper III, not the guy who did the Ghostbusters theme, but the guy who finished Jake Shields.
Yeah. And that was a main event. Ray Cooper
versus
Jake Shields. And we talk like Floyd Mayweather. We talk about like the A side and the B side. Like Drake Shields was the A side.
Oh yeah.
And he's fighting on the undercard of this fight card.
Cause he got knocked off the A side.
Yeah. So big, but the biggest deal on this fight card, Kayla Harrison. So Kayla Harrison, she's a judo gold medalist.
Used to be Ronda's partner.
Yeah, she's fantastic. So if you have a chance, go out of your way. Rest, we're gonna see the welterweight and middleweight more tournament fights.
You get the cousin of Khabib, Abubakar Nurmagomedov. And another one of the scariest names ever, Magomed Karamov.
There we go. So, guys, have a great weekend.
Rick Story.
Enjoy the weekend. Eddie's going to be gone next week. We got a treat. We're still going to go. We're still going next week, even though Eddie's gone. Follow us at Fight Night ATX, Twitter, Facebook. Enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy the fights.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.